So this evening, for our Eucharist service, we get to do a Celtic Earth Mass written by John Philip Newell, where there is rich language embodying the earth as we surround this holy meal in our Christian practice. Leadership is intentionally in the round, and you may notice that there's not like your traditional pulpit, lectern, ambo leadership furniture, and that is because throughout the week, when we're having a conversation, like say around what is the unity of love, that leadership may come from surprising places. And so as you experience Vespers throughout the week, please note that leaders will be standing up from different parts of the circle. And I pray that this can be sort of a surprising curiosity for us to look around us, not just at Holden Village, but when we go back down the mountain, to anticipate that leadership could be coming from new and different places that wasn't obvious to us at first. You need your ELW, the red hymn book. You need the blue worship booklet, which is the Celtic Earth Mass. And then you need the small little handout, and that will help you track along to know the different hymn numbers that we will be singing together. And note that the Sanctus tonight is in Spanish, so that'll be fun. With that, I guess one other note, just so you're not caught off guard, there is a very different translation of the Lord's Prayer. I'm not even sure I could call it a translation, more a paraphrase or just an imagined experience of what Jesus taught words might sound like us in this day and age. It's on page 8 if you want to look at it now, but know that you're welcome to pray the Lord's Prayer in whatever language is most resonant for you. With that, let us take a moment of quiet to allow the Spirit to gather us into this place as we celebrate being community, as we gather around this meal. Come, come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace.
Peace to each family, peace to each child, peace to each woman, and peace to each man.
Together,
peace to each family, peace to each child, peace to the creatures, peace to the nations, peace in our hearts, peace in our world.
Come, come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace.
Come to us from the heart of God. Come to us from the garden of our beginnings. Come to us from the center of this moment. Come to us from the true depths of our soul.
Come, come, O Christ, and stand in our midst as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace. We join in singing hymn number, and I just set it down, 615. And we begin by singing verses 1 through 3. 615.
Great creating spirit, from whom all life comes forth, here we gather again with bread and with wine, seeking your presence, longing once more to be nourished, hungering for wholeness in our lives, for unity on earth, and for peace among the nations. Here we gather more bread. Here we gather with creation's elements all around us, with earth, air, fire, and water still expanding through the universe, with the glory of the sun, the whiteness of the moon, the glittering of heaven's light off owing waters. Here we gather with bread. Here we gather with the firm fecundity of the earth, the growing and greening of trees, creatures of the day and night, birds of the air, all full of your glory, all bearers of your presence, all part of the great harmony that we long to touch and taste and become one with again. Here we go. So with everything that we see and sense around us, with visible and invisible energies that pulse with life, we join our souls in the song that vibrates throughout the whole of creation. Holy, holy, holy God, your presence fills all things.
We continue with verse 4.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 58. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, if you refrain from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Word of God, word of life.
Be to God.
My soul, with all thy powers, bless the Lord's most holy name. Oh, my soul, with all thy powers, bless the Lord's most holy name.
according to Luke, the 13th chapter. To you, O Lord. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue was indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, and he kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the Holy Gospel. Praise be to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So repetition in Scripture means to draw our attention. When something is repeated over and over in a short span of text, it's a way of saying, "This is important. Please notice this thing that we're talking about." In today's gospel reading, in 7 short verses, the word Sabbath shows up 5 times. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Jesus cured a woman of her ailment on that Sabbath. A religious leader is outraged that Jesus has chosen the Sabbath for such work, and that Jesus is outraged that people do the work of, you know, giving their water something to drink on the Sabbath, but that they're irritated that he wants to free somebody from their ailment on the Sabbath. 5 times in 7 verses. I think it's intended to draw our attention to the Sabbath. Another thing that gets repeated in today's gospel text is the phrase, the quantity, 18 years. For 18 years, this woman has suffered. For 18 years, this woman was bound. Talk about a fierce repetition that she had to embody year after year after year. And there was a great deal of rich language used to describe her 18 years. This woman was crippled, Jesus said, bent over, quite unable to stand up straight. The language longs to draw our attention to it. So I think there's 2 pretty big invitations in the Gospel of Luke. One is for us to dress the meaning of what is the Sabbath, what's it for? And 2, the power of healing, namely of a woman who has been suffering for 18 years. So first, let's look at the practice of Sabbath. Now, unfortunately, I fear that Sabbath practice in U.S. history has gone awry. A day of rest has been turned into a day of requirement. A day of joy and thanks has gotten turned into a day of moral strictness. Many in this room remember the blue laws, huh? Stores were often closed on Sundays. Liquor could not be sold. School and sports activities were definitely not an option on Sundays. And don't get caught playing cards, among other things. As Walter Brueggemann notes, basically, Sabbath got translated into a moralistic prescription for a day of quiet restraint and prohibition. Now, that just sounds life-giving, doesn't it? Not really. But the whole point of Sabbath originally was that there was this holy time, this place where we could pause, right? This time where we could look around and be thankful that there were structures in place around the Sabbath that supported us having a just community, one that really cared for and looked out for all people. But all that went by the wayside in exchange for some joy-choking rules. And in reaction to judgmental, moralistic piety, I think people have ditched Sabbath keeping altogether. And I guess I can hardly blame them. Now, Jesus in today's gospel and throughout the gospel is trying to ditch some of the judgmental Sabbath legalism of his day, but not to leave behind Sabbath practice entirely, but rather to better embody it fully. To live into this gift that God has given us in the Sabbath. Now that said, Jesus didn't follow all of the Sabbath day rules of that day, and people, go figure, specifically the leaders, were outraged. Because they had developed this system of requirements, stringent requirements, as Brueggemann calls them, requirements imposed by a religious and powerful elite, requirements that frankly were too difficult for most of us to live up to. They were requirements that were intended to keep control over the people and probably to keep their own authority in control, right? They were requirements that held people in bondage, and Jesus was not having it. This is because originally, the command to practice Sabbath came out of a time when God's people were enslaved. Remember? What happened was this. It was between the time of Joseph, one of the final of the patriarchs, and then the time of Moses. It was this in-between time that a Pharaoh rises to power and is threatened by the prolific and strength, the prolific lives, whatever, they're having a lot of babies, of the Israelites, right? And they seem to be a strong, vibrant people. And the Pharaoh was threatened by this. And so, of course, what's a Pharaoh to do but just to enslave the lot of them, right? This was also a time when Egypt was building up its empire, which meant there was more building and more building and more building, and there was grain. Apparently, crops were doing great, so they needed more and more storehouses till they had more buildings and grain than anybody could ever need. And it was the Israelites, it was on their backs that all of this was happening. That they were pushed to work harder and longer and longer and harder. But the amazing thing is this, that even under the burden of slavery, God's people grew stronger. And Pharaoh gets even more nervous and then demands more production from them to work, 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 and no rest until God says enough. And this is where Moses comes in. God raises him up to lead God's people from slavery into freedom. And once in the freedom of the wilderness, that's when God's law comes, the Ten Commandments. And in the midst, there's this thing about keeping the Sabbath. But please hear this. Think of this. This is a people coming out of slavery. Sabbath is not one more thing that is being imposed upon us. It is a gift that is being granted to us. It is actually God politically saying no to those in authority that might demand more than fragile people are able to give. It's not a rule imposed on us by the powerful, but it is a rule set by God to limit the powerful. To limit their power over the most vulnerable in society. To say that there is a day of stopping, of resting, of feasting, of celebrating, of giving thanks, of noticing the amazing gifts that God gives us day in and day out. To give room for us to be in a relationship with God and one another, and not just to have to keep working harder and longer and longer and harder and harder and longer. That we get to stop. It's why we as Holden staff and volunteers covenant to gather in Vespers each and every day. We're saying in the midst of our busy lives that we think stopping is important, that we gather in community to honor one another. It's a time for us to remember the amazing gifts that surround us in this place. And then we give thanks, seeking to honor the people that surround us and the God, the giver of all good things. It's why people come up this long, crazy journey of boat and bus and car and plane, to have that moment of pause, a Sabbath space where we can go, right, I am blessed. This is an amazing world that I'm called to. To find a place of perspective. We find space for Sabbath expression. And in so doing, we make it holy. And that word holy means set apart. We set apart time to say that there's something special that we need to do together. Because we need space to pause. We need time to look around and to remember to be thankful. And we need structures in place that support our doing these things so that we're protecting the most vulnerable in our communities. So Jesus decides to heal one of these most vulnerable. When Jesus decides to heal this woman, he honors the importance of a gathered community. Note, he doesn't pull her aside and go do it privately. He does it in the midst of the community because what we do together as community matters and it shapes us all. And then he starts to use words like, "You are set free." He doesn't say you are healed. It says you are freed from bondage. Do you hear what he's doing? This is slavery language. Slavery language that would have resonated deep in the historic context of this Jewish people. And he was accusing the religious establishment of imposing Pharaoh-like captivity upon its people. You figure that's probably why they might have gotten indignant, as Scripture says. But Jesus didn't care. Here is a woman that for 18 years was unable to lift her head. Think about what your perspective on the world would be. She was unable to lift her head, to throw her shoulders back. And it's interesting that Luke goes on so far as to call her condition a form of satanic bondage. I want you to know that this is an ancient way of saying that her condition violates God's will for her life. This is not her fault. And according to scholar Ira Diggers, she is not demon-possessed, but tragically broken in a way that God abhors. Physically, even where barriers between her and her community were just held. Imagine not being able to lift your head and for 18 years to be bent over. So what are we called as a people to do? Miracles happen in many ways. And in this story, Jesus lifted this woman, and ultimately this is what you and I pray for. But in the meantime, I believe that we as a people are called to shift. And find ways to look at those who are differently abled in the eye. A way to honor the different perspectives that surround us. And to say you are just as holy, set apart for amazing things in this world, as anyone else that God created. May we find ways to shift our perspective that includes people on the fringes, being willing to change our own behavior to embody grace. Amen. We continue with the prayer for the earth found at the bottom of page 5.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory, O God. Your presence fills all things. Yet what have we done?
Creation marred by neglect and abuse.
Life forms torn forever out of the fabric of the universe.
Nature ravaged.
Wealth wasted.
Earth's community divided.
Nations at war.
Communities fractured.
Families broken.
The human soul sick and far from home.
Great creating spirit, hear our plea for mercy.
Hear our prayers for the earth.
Loving God, we thank you for the many ways that you hear our prayers and help us to embody your good news for the whole earth. I pray that you shape and form us into people who carry your love and attention to the furthest corners, the most unseen parts of the world and people that surround us. Bless our efforts and forgive us our trespasses, knowing that your love covers all of our iniquity. In Jesus' name, amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with a sign of peace.
Our service continues with our tithes and offerings. And again, a reminder, 100% of this evening's offerings goes to the organization Las Americas, which is working with our broken immigration system, specifically out of El Paso, Texas. And again, just a reminder, I know we often don't carry money at Holden Village. So if you wish to give to our offering and don't have it with you this evening, you can find me throughout the week, or David until he leaves later this week. Thank you.
No mountain, no valley, no gain or loss we know could keep us from your love. No sickness, no secret, no chain is strong enough keep us from your love, to keep us from your love.
In the section that says communion, I invite you to repeat after me, Santo, Santo, Santo. It means holy, holy, holy. Mi corazón te adora. Which means my heart adores you. Mi corazón te sabe decir. Mi corazón te sabe decir. My heart knows how to say, Santo eres, Señor. Santo eres. Holy are you, Lord. So that will be our Sanctus that is sung during our communion liturgy. Our service now continues with the section that says Memory of Jesus. It's at the bottom of page 6, and I invite you to please stand. Into our brokenness came the memory of wholeness. Christ born among us, child of heaven, bearer of forgiveness, teacher of wisdom, rejected by the religious, companion of our soul. With his disciples at table on the night of his arrest, Jesus blessed the bread and said, "This is my body, broken for you." With his disciples on the night of his arrest, Jesus blessed the wine and said, "This is my lifeblood, poured out for you." Come upon us with your Spirit, O God, and upon this bread of the earth. Come upon us with your Spirit, O God, and upon this cup of unity. And as Jesus taught us, we pray. Ground of all being, mother of life, father of the universe, may we know your presence here, seeking your will upon the earth. Grant all your creatures food for today and strength for our families. Pardon our falseness as we forgive those who are untrue to us. Do not forsake us in our need, but lead us to new birth. For the glory of life and the light of life are yours forever. Amen. These are the gifts of heaven for you, the people of earth. You may be seated. A note about how we do communion here. There will not be any specific ushers, so I invite you just to kind of relax and perhaps wait for the people in front of you or next to you or behind you to go, and you can just kind of follow suit. We come forward from this side and kind of from these two aisles. The first person on each side will have a smaller container that have gluten-free wafers, and then the next person that will be right in here will be bread, and then you can have a piece of bread broken off. Go ahead and eat it, or if you wish, you can dip it in the common cup. You can also drink from the common cup. Otherwise, there are small individual cups that are here. And the first pitcher that you have is wine. The second pitcher is grape juice. And then you can put the dirty cups finally in the basket. So this one is wine. This one's grape juice. And that's the cup that you can either drink of or dip your bread into. Again, our desire is that there be no barriers between you and this amazing feast of life that Jesus offers us. Know that he is the host and is he who invites you to come. If you want to come forward, but you're just not comfortable with communion, know that we would love to give you a blessing as well. So if you're coming forward for a blessing, you can just come up with your arms crossed across your chest. Otherwise, kids commune at all ages. So if kids are communing, make sure they got their hands up nice and high so we know to make sure to give them bread. All is prepared. Please come forward. You know that you are welcome. And now may the fullness of Christ bless you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Please join with me in the prayer to the Spirit. Great creating spirit, who swept over the depths of the unknown to give birth to creation in all its splendor.
Great creating spirit, who conceived new life in the womb of Mary to give birth to the child of peace.
Great creating spirit, who hovers over the waters of the human soul today to give birth to healings and visions that have never been before.
Come to us as an earth community.
Come to us as nations of the world.
Grant us wholeness.
Grant us healing.
Grant us together a new language that we may be one. Please stand as you feel comfortable as we join in singing our closing hymn, 869.
We have seen the Lord. God with us, Jesus Christ.
We have seen the Lord.
We have seen the Lord.
God is mighty.
We have seen the Lord.
God is powerful.
We have seen the Lord. God with us, Jesus Christ.
Oh, we have seen the Lord.
We have seen the Lord.
God is lowly.
We have seen the Lord.
God is merciful.
We have seen the Lord. God with us, Jesus Christ.
Oh, we have seen the Lord.
We have seen the Lord.
God is gracious.
We have seen the Lord.
God is wonderful.
We have seen the Lord. God with us, Jesus Christ.
We have seen the Lord.
We have seen the Lord.
God is mighty.
We have seen the Lord.
God is powerful.
We have seen the Lord. God with us, Jesus Christ.
Deep peace of the running wave to you, deep peace of the flowing air. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the shining stars. Deep peace of the Son of Peace be with you all. Depart in this peace. Amen.